اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته الأطيبين الأجلين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وطاهرا وناصرا ودليلا وعلا حتى تسكنه أرضك ترضى وتمتعه فيها طويلا. We have a hadith of Qudsi regarding the importance of wuzu and what effects it has. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that من أحدث ولم يتوضا فقد جفاني. That someone who was without wuzu, and then he says if he does not perform a wuzu, this person has been disloyal to Allah. And then says, if you were without wuzu, you made a wuzu, and then walam yusalli rak'atayn, and then he does not offer a two rak'at prayer. Again Allah says, jafani, that that person has been disloyal to me. Then says, if you were without wuzu, you made a wuzu, you offered a two rak'at prayer, and then Allah says, if you don't ask for your wishes and your hajat. Now this is just a random two-rakat prayer. Says, فَقَدْ جَفَانِي. Once again, he has been disloyal to me. And now he says, if you were without wuzu, you performed a wuzu, you offered a two-rakat prayer, you asked from Allah all that you wanted, and now he says, if I don't reply to your wishes and desires, it's Allah who is being disloyal, and وَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّنْ جَافْ, and I am not a disloyal Lord. It says that whenever you want to get something randomly, do a wuzu, a two-rakat prayer, and ask for your wishes and your hajat, they will be granted. It's the word of Allah, and Allah, He never lies. Or for example, says, al-wuzu nurun. Wuzu is nur. We did talk on this issue that Ma'rifa is noor, Ahlul Bayt are noor, all these fields of spirituality, morality, all that is noor, and then wuzu also is noor. That is, if we want to get connected to these ma'arif, wuzu is the first step. That is, that tahara, the purity of our body, then is the purity of the soul. When we get ourselves purified, the body, the soul, then it's easier for us to relate with everything. So again, wuzu, it is noor. Or the Prophet, he says that someone who performs a wuzu, and then if he goes to bed, he says that the bed of that person will be a masjid. That is, it's going to be as if it's going to be a place of worship. And someone who dies in bed and had performed a wuzu says that will be the death of a shaheed. He will be rewarded the reward of someone who has died in the way of Allah. Or elsewhere, the Prophet, he, in his teachings to his sincere companion Abazar, he says that someone who performs a wuzu, it is as if rows of angels are with him in this worship which he has performed. Or elsewhere he says that إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يَدْعُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُرًّا, that on the day of judgment from my nation there will be some whose foreheads will be bright, whose faces will be shining brightly. And then they will be known as those who wear wuzu all the time. That is, again, if you want to be enlightened in the hereafter, says be in wuzu all the time. That when you are in wuzu all the time, you will benefit more. Says at-tuhru ala at-tuhru ashra hasanat, even if you were with wuzu, hadith says that do another wuzu, renew it. It is nurun ala nur. Wuzu itself is nur. You do another wuzu, is going to be an additional nur on that nur. It's going to enlighten you. Here says that you will be enlightened 10 times of the reward of renewing that wuzu. So being in taharat, it's good. it's desired, it's highly recommended. Elsewhere, Ma'sumi says that if you were without wuzu and you started your day, you had certain plans in mind and you had to achieve them by the end of the day. Imam says that your day ended and you did not achieve whatever you had in mind. Says, don't blame anyone else, blame yourself if you were not in wuzu. That is, not being in wuzu would result in you not achieving whatever your plans and your desires and wishes were. Says again in another quote that if you were upset, you were disturbed, and you couldn't find a way out, no solution to what this distress of yours is, Imam says, perform a wuzu, you will find a solution, and your distress, it will be gone. And all this is when you perform a wuzu, which is correct, which is as it has been told to us by the Prophet, taught to us by Ma'sumin alayhi salam. Elsewhere in a quote, in a lengthy quote, Rasulullah, he asks Shaytan that among the creation of Allah, how many enemies do you have from my nation? Shaytan lists 16. Says that there are 16 types of people who are my enemies. Says, first of all, Anta, Ya Muhammad. You are the worst of my enemies. You, O Prophet. Inni, I hate you. Wal alam, and every person who practices in accordance to your teachings, I hate him. Someone who learns Quran, Shaytan says, I hate him. There's a list of these people, and then finally he says that someone who is in wuzu, again, I hate him. The reason why he hates that because wuzu, it's a coating, it makes ourselves sterile, it's nur that can attract nur. That is, as a result of that wuzu of ours, that mercy of Allah can be attracted and we can get connected to the existence of Allah. So Shaytan hates it because he wants everyone to be distanced from Allah. So one of the best ways that we can get connected to Allah, the basic steps, is by wuzu. Salam. There is this ayah in Quran. Says that al-khabithatu lil-khabithin wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat wal-tayyibatu lil-tayyibin wal-tayyibuna lil-tayyibat. That is, bad women are for bad men and bad men are for bad women. Says good women are for good men are for good women. Now that is the basic translation of this ayah. Or in simple words, bad is for bad, good is for good. Now, purity and impurity, it plays an important role in the guidance of mankind. So because Allah is pure, Ma'sumin are pure, for us to get connected to them, a purity is required. So one of those purities is by wuzu. The main purity is the purity of one's heart and one's soul. And that is by correcting one's usul that purity can be sought. Now someone who is not clean and who is not pure, he cannot relate himself to any one of these muqaddasat, one of these pure purities. It is impossible. Ahmad bin Ishaq Qumi is the representative of our 11th Imam, Imam Askari alayhi salam. He lives in Qum. And this whole soul representation of the Imam. Once in a while, he travels all the way from Qum to Samarra to ask Imam of what the religious inquiries he has, if Mu'mineen had istiftar to inquire from the Imam what the answers of them would be, if there were dues and funds, homes, zakawat, etc., he collects them here and delivers them to the Imam. So he has to travel all the way from Qom to Samarra, which is about 2,000 miles. So someone who is sincere and pure, only him can be the representative of the Imam. He is trusted by the Imam so much. Says in one of his journeys, and it's either third journey of his or the fourth during his lifetime, when he travels to see the Imam, he comes all the way towards Ahwaz, which is the border of Iran and Iraq, towards the south of Iran, and there he is the guest of one of the people over there. Says the host also is happy that he's got a noble guest who is the representative of the Imam. He hosts him, and that night it so happens that this great noble person passes away when he was a traveler and also a guest. Now when these great personalities die, Quran says that فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْذَرِينَ, that when they die, it isn't as such that just a few people cry for them. Says the skies and the earth, they cry for these great noble personalities. Or if you look into this Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa, says when Abu Abdullah Hussein died, the entire creation of Allah was in mourning. In that Ziyarat which is quoted from our 12th Imam, he says, everything in the heavens was in azah, everything in the skies was in azah, even the fish in the seas, all of them were in mourning because of the azah of Allah Abdullah. So, when a noble dies, here Quran says that the skies and the earth also are in mourning and in azah because he is such a great personality. Now this person passes away and the host, he's worried that what shall I do? What shall I do with the funeral services of this noble person? He says, I was amidst this thinking and making these arrangements. All of a sudden someone knocks the door. Someone knocks the door, and when I open it, someone speaking in very fasih and pure Farsi, says that Ahmad bin Ishaq, he addresses me with my name, and then says Ahmad bin Ishaq Qumi has passed away. And the 11th Imam, I'm his personal envoy, and this is a package for you, and this is the personal shroud and kafan of the Imam himself, which he has sent for his representative, that he should be shrouded in this kafan and laid to rest. Shroud, it's a uniform. Kafan is that uniform which is going to remain with us until the day of judgment. And now if someone is wearing a uniform presented by the Imam, then that is the highest honor that a person can possess. There is this ziyarat Aminullah, a small ziyarat which is for Amir al-Mu'mineen, but you can address any of the Imams with that ziyarat. And it is said that if you have worldly hajat, like jobs, like marriages, children, etc., anything to do with your dunyawi hajat, your material hajat, recite that ziyarat with the intention of the ninth Imam, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, for 40 days, and inshallah, your hajat, they will be fulfilled. Says that in that ziyarat, Aminullah, mahbubatan fi ardika wa sama'ik, that Allah make me as such that I become the beloved in this land of yours and in that sky, in those skies of yours. And how can that happen? That is by attaining and gaining these purities that were mentioned. So he passes away, kafan is brought forth, is sent by the Imam, and he is shrouded. Now these kafans that Ahlul Bayt have, again, that is amazing. It isn't just a random piece of cloth. There was a piece of land that had remained from Hazrat Zahra alayha salam. And in that land, cotton was grown, and when these cotton pods were available, they were woven into thread, woven into cloth, and that was how these kafans were made by Ahlul Bayt. Or for example, when you look back into Karbala, when our fourth Imam comes to the presence of Yazid and says that I want all those personal belongings back. Now what are those personal belongings? It's a turban, It's a shirt. Now, all, it isn't as if it's one of those lavish shirts, one of run-down, drag clothes. But the reason why they want it, it's they are special. Made by Hazrat Zahra, woven by her. So that is the beauty of those cloths. No matter how much wealth he is, whatever price he wants to give for those clothes, they don't want. They want that original back. Now, in this journey when Ahmad bin Ishaq passes away, prior to this journey, he had a visit. He takes all these funds, the wealth, from the people of Qom to Imam, and then says to the Imam, will I ever be able to meet your son, that is the Imam of time? Are these eyes capable of seeing him? Imam says, yes, they are. Just wait. Imam opens the door and a three-year-old child comes, and that is the Imam, the 12th Imam. He comes. And Imam says that, Mahdi, this is what the people of Qom has sent for us. Can you check if it's all fine? Imam at that age of three comes and checks all these parcels, packages that have come, the money that has come, and just takes a little bit out of it and says, only this is halal. All the rest of that zakat and homes that has been sent to us, it's najis. It is not worth us, Ahlul Bayt, using it. So, wealth has to be pure out of every contamination. And only then, when that homes is given, that is accepted by Ma'sumeen alayhi wassalam. Homes again, it is a duty, like namaz, like fasting, like hajj. And that niyat of qurbatan ilallah has to be there. And purity in all forms has to exist in that homes as well. Now when Imam puts that money aside saying that it is najis, it means that either the person who has worked, the job wasn't fine, or maybe with all those contamination that the businessmen have, all that halal, haram, halal mixed, when you take that homes out of it again, that makes it contaminated. So, how come a child just 3 years old, he scans and tells and informs his father what is right and what is wrong? That is our aqidah, our belief regarding imams and prophets. For them, age doesn't matter. Age is not a factor over them. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ سَبِيًّا. That Quran says that hukm and the judgment of Allah, command of Allah is given to them, when yet they are a child, they may be an infant. The same thing can be seen with Prophet Isa, that when people were mocking and taunting at Hazrat Maryam alayha salam, she points at the baby and says, Inni Abdullah Atani al Kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya, that I am indeed the messenger, the Prophet of Allah. He has given me the book and he has made me the Prophet. So at that very young age, Imam, he points out and recognizes what is right and what is wrong from those wells. The ayah says, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, that good is for good. So when it comes to wealth again, good wealth is for good people. When it comes to the morality, spiritualities, again, it's the same thing. Or elsewhere, if you look into the performance of Ma'sumeen alayhi wassalam, once in Marhum Naraqi, he quotes this hadith. He says that Rasulullah, he was performing a tawaf in Mecca, in Masjid al-Haram, around the Kaaba. Says that there was someone holding the latch of that door of Kaaba and was pleading and crying. Rasulullah points at him and says to his companions, look at that blaze of fire holding the door of Kaaba. Now why does he say that blaze of fire to someone who is holding Kaaba? That is to say that if a person is impure, if a person is khabith, according to the definition of Quran, bad, then he is no more than hellfire. He may be a walkie-talkie person, but he is hell in reality. No matter how much we may say labbaik, we don't know whether or not Allah has accepted. Looking into the performance of Ma'sumin, for example, the full Imam when he travels for Hajj and he takes a group with him, all the Hajis had become Muhrim, they had worn the Ihram. Now, Imam who is the head of the caravan, he is not ready yet. People, they come and say to the Imam, are you not going to be a Haji this year? Why is it that you are not wearing the Ihram? Imam was crying. He says, I fear that if I wear this Ihram saying Labbaik, if Allah says La Labbaik, what do I do? If He doesn't accept me, what do I do? So it's tough that when the performance of Ma'sumin is as such, that we have to look into ourselves, that what should we be doing? Now one of the, because we have a lot of hope in Allah and in Ma'sumin alayhi salam, it is said that if when you are wearing that ihram and when you are saying labbaik, if a tear falls from your eye, it means that Allah has accepted you. Or for example, if you are blessed with the ziyarat of Ma'sumin and we go to the sacred shrine of Ma'sumin, and when we stand by the door and we say, أَأَدْخُلُ يَا اللَّهُ أَأَدْخُلُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ, and then if your heart breaks, or if a tiny tear rolls down your eye, it means that Imam has granted you the permission. Permission granted, enter. That is that permit, that tear which rolls down. So all these are special favors that we find that have been blessed to many. Over here, again, when a person, he wants to travel for Hajj, Imam, he says that you want to go for Hajj with what wealth? With which money? Because all he possessed was wrong, all he had was haram, najis. Says, to get to Allah who is all pure, who is tayyib, purity has to exist in all forms, and with a contaminated wealth, with a contaminated body, with all that filth that is in us, we cannot get to Allah, we cannot relate to Him. He says, okay, instead of going to Mecca, he returned back to Medina. Now the person who was with him, who was Imam's companion and who associated him in helping him to get to Mecca, he gets that reply, instead of traveling to Mecca, he comes back to his hometown, Medina. After his Hajj, when he comes and sees this wealthy millionaire is in rags, he says, how are you? What is this? He says, I have a lot of burden on me. I want you to help me. He says, okay, how? He says, this shirt that I'm wearing, it belongs to that contaminated past of mine. It is with that haram income. Take it and give me a clean shirt, meaning that from a good wealth. He says, okay, gives him a shirt. And after a few days, when he finds him, he is ill, giving away his life. When he goes to see him, he says, how are you? He says, your master, that is the sixth Imam, he has fulfilled his promise. Now what the promise was? Imam says that you fix yourself, you correct yourself, I guarantee that you will get into the paradise. He says, I threw away, gave away all that contamination of mine, all that contaminated wealth, whatever I had. By repentance, by tawbah, I cleaned myself, that purity was sought. And in the last moments of his life, he says, Imam has come and he has fulfilled his promise, and that is, he has guaranteed in the heaven. Why did that happen? Purity attracts purity. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. To get to the heaven, a person has to be pure, he has to be good. Without that purity, getting into the heaven is also impossible. وَالْجَنَّةُ لَا يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. In the paradise, no one but someone who is good and tayyib can enter. Someone who is not tayyib can never enter into the heaven. Inshallah, I'll continue this tomorrow. May Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, help us in these sacred nights and purifying ourselves and throwing away all the filth and the wrong that we have in us, especially in the forthcoming Layali al-Qadr. May Allah bless us the opportunity to repent, to seek His forgiveness, so that we attract the mercy and that rahmat of Allah much more than what we did in the past. May Allah make it as such that we are restored to our original settings, that is when we were born, and all that wrong that existed, that exists in us today, is all thrown away and is all waived and forgiven. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasten in the return of our Imam and count us among his true servants and his supporters.
Just need a little bit of help from the volunteers that normally help us. Thank you. Salawat.
Assalamu alaikum.